let's pray as we get ready to look to the scripture this morning. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I believe it is life-changing and church-changing. And Father, I ask you this morning for an anointing of the Spirit to speak your word as you'd have me to. Lord, that it would impart life, that it would impart something life-changing to your people today. Lord, that we won't leave the same as we came, but that this seed of the word of God will accomplish exactly what you sent it to do. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. But I feel a little bit like the preacher that went and tried out at a church and he preached his best message and it went really well. The people just loved it and they voted him in. Well, the next week he got up and he preached the exact same message. The third week he preached the same message again. The fourth week he preached the same message again. Well, the people finally got together and they came to him and they said, "Look, we want to talk to you. We love the message when you preached it the first time. We've heard it four times now. We want you to preach something else." And he said, "I'll start preaching something else when you get this one." And I feel a little bit like that right now because I don't like to be redundant. I don't like to be repetitive. You know, they say that people learn by repetition. And I'm very guilty of preaching something one time and I expect all of you to remember it forever. But I realize that with what I'm sharing this morning, it is something that we have to hear repetitively because there's such a stronghold and such a mindset and an attitude of seeing church one way, and we need to see it in a biblical way. The way most people view church and understand church has been largely developed and influenced by the philosophies of our culture. And it may be very American, but it's not very Bible. We need to go back to a Bible-based view and understanding of the church and how the church works. And so church, this morning, and the last couple of messages, this is just another piece of the puzzle that we're adding to those messages and just continuing to build upon that, because I really believe that the Lord wants to change our attitude, our view of how church works. It's got to change. So much of the time, we hear a word, we hear a message, and we don't really see or understand how that we can make a simple, practical application in our life. Well, this morning, it's not going to be that way. I'm going to make this very simple, how that all of us can take action even today and very simply apply this in our life, that we be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. I'm going to challenge you today to regroup. I'm going to challenge you today to make new friends. Some of you had the same old friends for so long. I'm telling you, you need to make some new friends. I remember when I was little, there's a few times that my mother would tell me, make friends. You know, they send you to something new. Maybe you're going to a new school or whatever, and they say, make friends. I didn't ever like that. I was shy and introverted, and I didn't want to have to make friends. But I'm telling you this morning, I believe we have a challenge that we need to regroup. We need to make some new friends in the body of Christ. And I'm going to challenge you this morning to get involved, to go to a growth group. Even if you think that you don't need it personally, realize that you might have something to offer somebody else. Now, the dictionary says that regroup means to reorganize for renewed activity. To regroup is to reorganize for renewed activity. And that's what we're doing in essence, as we are reorganizing for renewed activity. Not just activity for activity's sake, but renewed activity in terms of reaching people and seeing lives change and disciples made. Renewed activity in the sense of seeing the church being effective and the church growing. We got to regroup. You know, that term is actually used in regarding military action sometimes, because to regroup, it's when, hey, what you're doing is not getting the job done, you regroup. You reorganize for renewed activity. Church, we need to regroup. What do we need to do to see the church really grow? Listen, we've already got great music. We've got a great worship team. We've got cool video. What else could we do? Well, we could get a new preacher. Maybe that would do it. Listen to me. I want to tell you, I really believe that this is a word from the Lord for us today. That if we really want to see the church grow and see it grow healthy, not just numbers. Now listen to me. Numbers are always important because every number is a soul. But it's not just about attendance and numbers. It is about changed lives. It is about healthy disciples. And if we want to see that happen, church, we need to build relationships. We need to be connected with one another. We need to have a viewpoint and an understanding of what church is that lines up with the Bible. We need to love one another the way the Bible says to, in a real and practical way. You see, it's easy for us to say, oh, I love everybody. I love everybody. Easy cheesy. I love everybody. Absolutely worthless. I love everybody. Worthless. 1 John 3:18 says, don't love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth, in action and reality. You see, it is absolutely worthless to say we love everybody. What really matters is to love somebody in a tangible way where there's action to your love. And I'm telling you, the way that most of the body of Christ in America does church today can't get that done. No, we've got to have real relationships with people to such a degree that we actually show them in a tangible way, we live it out, that we're loving one another. Galatians 6:2 says that we fulfill the law of Christ by bearing one another's burdens. And how can that happen? If we just show up for church on Sunday and sing some songs and hear a message and go our way and we'll see you next week, maybe. That's not church. We as a church want to have a greater impact. We want to see the growth of the church. We want to see people discipled, growing in their relationship with God, growing in ministry. We want to see people involved and God using people. Realize this. Each one of us has a part in it. Every single one of us is important in the body of Christ because God has gifted each one of us to bless somebody else, to help somebody else in some way. Most churches are filled with broken, disconnected believers. There are few healthy, strong disciples who are where they can really disciple other people. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God uses people that are broken. God uses people that don't have it all together, or He wouldn't use any of us. Amen? It is God's power. It's not us. It's not our goodness. But the point is that most of the body of Christ is so disjointed and so disconnected that we are weakened. Listen, it is a trick of Satan because when we come together and we all work together, even the very gates of hell cannot stand against the church. But when we are disconnected and separated from one another, we are weak. The body is not functioning like it's supposed to be functioning. We could have 10,000 people, but the body still not be functioning like it's supposed to, and still have 10,000 people who are weak and disconnected. I'm telling you, church, what we see in America today is not always a biblical view of what church is supposed to be. Now, how is it that the first church was so successful? We need to look at that model. It's in Acts chapter 2. It kind of gives us a snapshot of what was going on in that early church. Now, they did start with a bang. They had a great preacher named Peter. He got up and he preached and 3,000 got saved. But I want you to know that that was just the beginning because the Lord added to that church every day. You know, we get so hung up on the superstar. See, that's part of the culture, the philosophy of the day. It's all about the superstar. No, it's not. That's not Bible. What you see in the Bible is you see a body that God uses everybody. I heard this example, I read this example recently where they were talking about if Billy Graham had a big crusade and 3,000 people got saved every day for 30 days, that would be 90,000 people. Wow, wouldn't that be amazing? But the example goes on to say, and don't get your pen and pencil out and your calculator. Don't get it out right now. You do it later, okay? Some of you are bad students. I know how you are. You're going to want, I had to add it up, figure it all up on my own, but I wouldn't do it in the middle of church. So you don't be, you do it later. Do it later. Anyways, here it is. Say one believer wins one believer one day. The next day, those two believers win two. The third day, those four believers win four. The fourth day, are we to four yet? The fourth day, those eight believers win 16. Now, I'm not going to do it all the way up, but I'm just going to tell you, the 21st day, you're at 2 million. Are you saying, how are you ever, it gets there. That is amazing. One a day. Now, how about we just go for one a year? Let's just forget that whole idea of one per day. How about one per year? What if each of us got somebody in, discipled, strong and healthy as a believer, one in a year? This church would double in a year. That is phenomenal growth for any size church, to double in a year. Doable. Church, we can do this, but we're going to have to change the way we do church. It's not just come and have some good worship music and listen to some guy talk for a little while. That's not church. You see, church, listen to me. Church is not an event. We've been taught, we know that church is not a building, right? But a lot of people have the attitude, the mindset, that church is an event. Going to church. And I'm not knocking that. You know, the way we say that, hey, come visit my church. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that terminology except for the fact that we take it to the extreme where we actually view church as an event that happens where we go and sing songs and hear somebody preach. We are the church. And if we are disconnected, we are not functioning the way the Bible depicts the church. Well, we didn't even read it yet, did we? Here we go. Acts chapter. I'm a little wound up. I give the Holy Spirit the blame, though, all right? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Well, they got together once a week or when they got around to it. No, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Well, I don't need that. Yes, you do. This is biblical church. In breaking of bread, we like that part. There's going to be food. I'm there, right? And in prayers, they prayed together all the time. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I believe we'll see more and more signs and wonders. I'm telling you, we have a lot of miracles around here. Whether you realize it or not, there are miracles that take place. But I just believe God do that more and more as the body functions the way that it's supposed to. Now, all who believed were together. Wow. Let's just take that one phrase, and that totally blows away the way most churches operate. We come here. I'm messing some of you up right now because you're like, hey, let's go visit that church, or hey, let's go to church this morning. We'll hear some singing and a message, and we'll go home. And I'm just telling you, that's not the way it's supposed to be. He says that they were all together. All who believe were together. Now, just stay with me. We're going to deal with a little bit here. I'm going to come back to this. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to explain this. Don't get all hung up on it, okay? But it says, and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amazing. God added to that church daily. I believe it ought to be that way, church. Listen, a healthy body naturally grows. It just happens. And I really believe that's God's plan and God's will, but we got to do it His way. We got to quit asking God to bless it our way, the American way, and instead do it God's way, and He'll bless it. I want you to understand this. Their world was very different from ours. When these Jewish people accepted Jesus Christ as their Messiah, everything changed for them. Many of them were ostracized from their families. They were put out of the family. Many of them lost their jobs, their livelihood, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And so they all came together. They all shared with one another. That it was very natural for them to go from house to house. It was like one big fellowship party. It was like one big body of believers. It was like a brotherhood. They even called each other brother and sister. Listen, those relationships, it was like a new family. Listen, Jesus even had that mentality when His mother and brothers came and wanted to speak to Him. He said, "These are My mother and brothers, these who hear and do the will of God." And I'm telling you, we in the body of Christ, a lot of times, we're so disconnected from the church that we can leave and go to another church or quit going at all, and no big deal. How is that? It's so unscriptural. It's so unbiblical. We should be so connected to one another that there's no way that somebody just falls out of church. They would have never have made it if they just attended church a couple of times a week and heard a message and some songs. They needed something more. They needed community. They needed to belong. They needed Christian friends and fellowship. They needed a new family. They needed encouragement on a daily basis. Listen to me. They had 3,000 people just on the first day, and they kept adding, and all these people needed to be taught how to live this new way of life. And that's where we have failed so miserably. I'm not just talking about this local church, but I'm saying the church in America, we have failed so miserably at teaching people how to really live this life. They gathered in mass in the temple courts. They had congregational-sized meetings in the synagogues and in large houses. But listen, they met day after day in their homes, in their houses. And most of these were not rich people. Listen, the typical house in that day and time was not any bigger than my office. I'm talking about the whole house. And yet they met from home to home. You know, they could only get about 8, 10, 12 people, good size for a small group. And you need to understand that this is much of how the church was meeting together. It wasn't just all in a big service. In fact, much of the church in cities like Corinth got so big that there wasn't really a building. They didn't have church buildings like we do, church. It was such a different structure. We need to reorganize. And I'm not talking about some weird thing. I'm talking about that we need to follow the biblical pattern of having relationships, being connected with other people in the body of Christ, where we are carrying one another's burdens. We're praying for one another. We're encouraging one another daily. We're actually fulfilling the commands of Scripture instead of ignoring them. Now, people always get snagged on those verses that talk about having everything in common and selling all our possessions. Listen, this is not a biblical mandate or a pattern for us all selling all of our stuff and combining all of our money. There's been a lot of weirdos that have started compounds and communes and weird stuff like that from that scripture. That is not what it's setting a pattern for. Listen to me. Listen to the spirit of the law. You see, that would be the letter of the law. The spirit of the law here is that it is a pattern for caring for one another, for helping one another, that we are there for one another. And church, that's what we need in the body of Christ today. They did that because there was such a great demand and financial need that people were actually starving and going without food if they didn't do it. But we need to understand it is a pattern for us to care for one another and to help one another and do what we can for one another. We live in a world today where we are so busy and so scattered. And the enemy has used it to keep us from being the church. We have 1,000 other responsibilities and commitments. And we're all running here and over there. And we're doing good just to make it here on a Sunday. And we struggle all on our own. And I'm telling you, the enemy keeps us weak and keeps us from using our gifts. It keeps us from having real body ministry. Keeps us from having the kind of relationships that make us strong and make a difference in our lives. You see, we live in a really different society and culture than they did. But when it's all said and done, in many ways we have the same needs. Today in our society, we are surrounded by worldliness, by immorality, by godlessness. In this wicked age, a crooked and perverse generation, how can we live for God? How can we teach other people to live for God? I'm telling you, we need each other. We need more than just a little dab on Sunday. We need something that affects and infects every day of our life. We need that same biblical community that they had. Most of us don't realize, how much we need that. And it is in part why we live a substandard Christian life. I'm talking about substandard. I'm talking about a Christian life that is less than what the Bible depicts. When you read the Bible, you see in here this fantastic, awesome life of people loving one another and praying for one another, helping one another, seeing the power of God move. And I'm telling you that a big reason why we don't have that in our culture and our generation is because we are so disconnected and separated from one another. We got to change it, church. We got to decide that we've had enough. We're not going to keep that same old pattern that doesn't work. You see, the Lord designed His church, His body, that we would all have an interdependence upon one another. That we would all work together. Listen, mature believers are supposed to disciple those who are young in the Lord. And all too often, it's not happening. Those that are young in the Lord just kind of have to make it on their own. And most of them don't. We can't be happy with that. We can't be satisfied with that. Some of you that are young in the Lord, you've got some ungodly friends and don't have any friends who are strong believers. You need to make some new friends. You need to find you some spiritual friends who can help you learn how to live this life. Some of you who are spiritual and you've been serving the Lord for a while, I'm telling you, if you don't have any friends who are young in the Lord or unchurched, you are not doing your job. And you are stagnant. It will grow you. It will cause you to soar in the Lord if you'll start ministering to some young believers and helping some other believers learn what you know. Church, we got to develop those kind of relationships in order to do that. We got to regroup. Some believers are like a oak tree that was planted in a 5-gallon bucket and left that way 20 years ago. Now, the odds are that old oak tree is probably dead by now if it's been in a 5-gallon bucket for 20 years. But at best, it is root-bound. It is unhealthy and sickly and unfruitful. And the only hope is to take that old oak tree out of that bucket. And usually what they'll do is they'll kind of cut the sides of the roots where it's all wrapped around and around and root bound. They'll cut the sides of the roots and then plant it so that hopefully it'll begin to reach out and grow and new growth will appear. And I'm telling you that this is exactly that for some of you. You've got the same old friends. You've been in the same old circle for far too long. It's time for you to get out of that old bucket, and it might hurt a little bit. It might be a little uncomfortable, but you start making some new friends. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Not only are you going to help some other people grow in the Lord, you're going to grow in the Lord. You're going to get excited. You're going to experience something that you hadn't experienced in a long time. But you got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to regroup. It'll stretch you. It'll grow you. It'll cause you to become fruitful. We are members one of another. That's what the body, what the Bible says about the body of Christ. What does that mean? It just simply means that we're part of each other. You can't disconnect from the body without harm. It hurts you and it hurts the body. This is church. We are the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." You see, the fivefold ministry was given in order to equip the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. And the end result is the body of Christ is built up. Here's been the model for a couple of hundred years in America that we hire, really, really bad word, hire a pastor to do the work of the ministry. And that is a weak, sickly church. That is not the biblical design. The fivefold ministry is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry that the body of Christ is built up. Listen, every one of us has a part. Every one of us has a function. Every single one of us is important in the body of Christ. Every one of us is needed. Every one of us has gifts that can be used to bless and help somebody else. Let's read on. Verse 13, he says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man." That means mature. "To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine." I have to tell you, I see that in the church in America today. People are just babes in Christ. Even some who maybe have known the Lord for 30 years and they're still a babe in Christ. And they're carried about with every wind of doctrine. Whatever bulb is the brightest, they're chasing after it. Why? How is that happening? Because we're not rooted and grounded. We're not connected in fellowship and relationship with other believers. Verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies." Listen, we are to be joined and knit together. Is that happening? We got to make it happen. That we are joined and knit together. The strongest body part offers no strength, no benefit to the rest of the body if it's not connected. Very simple. Does it matter how gifted? Does it matter how great? If you're not connected to the rest of the body benefits zero. No, we got to have relationships. We got to be connected with one another. It said, "by what every joint supplies." The NIV says, "by every supporting ligament." That's how we're held together. I believe that it is speaking of leaders, people that pull others together. And I think that our small group leaders are just that. They help hold the body together in relationships. And then the last verse there, he says, "according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." And you see, there it is, that a healthy body just naturally grows. When we are connected and we are all doing what we're supposed to do, it's not hard. The body just grows. That's the biblical pattern. That's how the body of Christ is supposed to work. That's what the church is. It is the body of Christ. It is a group of people that are connected to one another. And as they grow in the Lord, they are growing in their ministry and being used of God to bless one another. That's body ministry. That's the church doing the work of the ministry, each part fulfilling its function. You see, we got to be committed to one another. We have a command to love one another. You can't do that from a distance. You got to do that up close and personal. You can't, listen, the Bible says, encourage one another daily. Most of us don't even do it once a week. We're disobeying the Scripture. These are scriptural mandates given to us in Scripture. We're supposed to pray for one another. Not just once in a while. No, do you see how much stronger we would be if we were so connected that we were encouraging one another every day, praying for each other, bearing one another's burdens? Now, many of us that have been in church for a while, we probably have some good Christian friends, and we have those things to some degree in our life, but realize that most of the body of Christ does not. We got to change that. And when new people, unchurched people come into our midst, church, we got to do whatever it takes to help them get connected. We can't lose a soul. I know in our country, we are taught this John Wayne mentality. What's the John Wayne this week? Sure do like it. I told my daughter, if you want to understand your dad, watch a little John Wayne, because that's what I grew up on. But let me tell you where the problem with that is when it comes to church. You see, in this culture, we have learned this individualism and independence. I don't need nobody, pilgrim. I can do it all by myself. I don't need your help. And that mentality has been brought into the church. It is so prevalent, and it is causing such harm in the body of Christ. This individualism that says, well, you know what? You know, my relationship with Jesus is my relationship with Jesus. I don't need any help. I don't need anybody else. That's not Bible. That is a trick of Satan. That is the philosophy of this generation being brought into the kingdom. How can we do that, church? The Bible teaches interdependence, not independence, interdependence, that we all need each other. Paul says no part of the body can say to any of the other parts, I don't need you. I don't know about you, but there's been a few that I wanted to say, I don't need you, right? I mean, we've all been there, but we do. We need each other. He says even the weakest parts, we need them. And I just want to challenge you, encourage you. You see, change your mindset and the way you view church. It's not just about me and my four no more. No, it is about all of us together learning how to walk in victory and do this thing. To live this life in reality. Listen, individualism and independence, that is not Christianity. We serve one another. We pray for one another. We are devoted to one another. We need one another. You know, small groups are just a vehicle for us to facilitate for those kinds of relationships to be made. You see, in the early church, they didn't have a small group program. But it was something that happened very naturally. In our day where everybody is so busy and so scattered, you know this as well as I do, that if we don't schedule it and do it on purpose, it won't happen. So whether it is through a small group or some other avenue, here's the point though, here's the scriptural mandate, is that we find a way that we are together. That we are praying for one another, we're bearing one another's burdens, we have strong relationships with other believers. But in a small group, it creates, listen, a greater sense of caring and belonging. There is a much greater opportunity for individual needs to be ministered to. There's a much greater opportunity, listen, for individual gifts to be used. You see how the two go together? Every person can be ministered to and cared for in a way that just can't be done by vocational ministry. That's a big word for paid to do it. By the way, nobody should be paid to do it if they wouldn't do it anyway. But hear me now. Vocational ministry can never do all of that. Most of the time, they don't even know what's going on in the lives of people. In fact, here's the sad truth. Most of the time, nobody knows what's going on. Because we have that individualism, independence attitude, and nobody really knows. And that's not the way church is supposed to be. But even if the vocational ministry knew about every need and everything, they couldn't make enough phone calls and enough visits. There's no way they could effectively do it all, get it all done and do it all in a way that really was meaningful and ministered to the people the way it needs to be. It takes all of us together. In a small group, there's a greater opportunity for instruction on a personal level. Every educator knows this. The smaller the classroom size, the greater the potential for learning. And I can stand up here. We can have great preachers and teachers come visit. We can have Brother Bob teach. He's a great teacher. But listen to me. A lot of times, people leave with more questions than they came with. And you have questions that never get answered for years. But you can go to a small group and you can ask questions and you can learn and find out. You know, you're dealing with a certain situation in your life and there are other believers there at the small group that have been through that same thing and they've got verses of Scripture and things to share with you. That's where you really learn and grow, is when you're connected with other people. Got to get away from this convention mentality, Christianity, where we just go to some meetings. Listen, meetings are important. Meetings are wonderful, but they don't take the place of the day in, day out function of the body of Christ working together. You know, one of the primary reasons Alcoholics Anonymous is so successful is because they learned this principle where people get together and they share their struggles. And they share their battles, and they encourage one another. And it's part of the success of Alcoholics Anonymous. But how much more is it? Listen, by the way, you know where they got it? The Bible. Amen. How much more should that be the way the church operates? That whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, that you have believers that you can count on to help you through that time, to help you with that burden. Now, we all need other believers. Sooner or later, we all go through times when we have trouble and hardship in our life. We go through suffering. We struggle. And without community, without other believers, it can be so hard. But when we have other people that we've locked arms with that are there for us, it makes all the difference. And we have to be there for them as well. You see, you might think you're John Wayne spiritually, but just realize there are other people that need you. And you sitting back and not getting involved, you're hurting those people by not helping them. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You need to get involved and you need to help other people. Now, you know, one of the things that can happen in homes is that there can be a this one brings a word of encouragement, and this one brings a song, and this one brings a scripture that God directed them to, and this one prays, and different ones are used in many different ways, and that's the body of Christ function. Now, you know, when we all come together on a Sunday morning, if we just have 120 people in here in each service, and each of us has an opportunity to be used for 3 minutes, we'll only be here for 6 hours each service. That can't happen. Are you glad? Now listen, I know there's some people out there trying to do that. It ain't happening. But let me tell you where it can happen. In a small group setting where there's 10 or 12 people. It doesn't have to be something officially set up by the church. But when believers get together, you can encourage one another. And one has a scripture. And one has a word from the Lord. And one prays. And maybe somebody else's gift is just to greet everybody and smile, lift everybody's spirit. But But we're all functioning together. Each one of us has something to share. Each one of us has a part in it. And I'm telling you, there's such a tremendous potential in a small group for those things to happen. Now, hear me now. It doesn't necessarily happen the first time you go to a small group meeting. Not even the second time. It takes time to develop relationships and for trust to be built where you feel like you can actually open up your heart and share real needs and real problems in your life, and other people can minister to you and vice versa. That doesn't happen overnight. But we got to start, church. We got to start heading the right direction and doing church the way that it is described in Scripture. We do it together. It's not just a meeting, an event on Sunday, but it is something we live together each and every day of our life. And I'm telling you, we're going to see a lot of souls won to the kingdom. We're going to see a lot of believers that wouldn't have made it. We're going to see them make it. We're going to see a lot of weak, sickly people becoming strong disciples in the Lord. We're going to do it right. Being in a growth group just helps us to fulfill those things, all right? And I heard about Rachel House and Tara Brinkley. They had bunch of ladies over their house this past Friday and had a great time of fellowship. And I'm just trying to say to you, we need so much more of that. We all need to get on board in this. You might say, well, I'm not a small group leader. What can I? Well, first of all, you can go to a group. Second of all, listen, you can have people over to your house. Invite people over to your house. Invite them out to eat. Get to know people. Regroup. You know, it's really cool is when you find people in the body of Christ who have similar interests and think like you, and that's an awesome thing. But I have to tell you, I just share this with you. Some of my best friends in Christ are people that I haven't necessarily had a whole lot in common with. But I know I can talk to them. I know they'll pray for me. I know they'll help me. That's what we all need. It doesn't have to be somebody that's just like you. They may be 20, 30 years older than you. Might have a real different personality from you. But in Christ, we come in relationship and we find a closeness that the world doesn't even know about. They can't even understand. And that's when we begin to love one another as Christ loved us. And I just challenge you, get on board. Do this thing. Let's change it, church.